This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining the award-winning podcast To Hull and Back, sponsored by Old Zoological Bar and Kingfisher Quality Fish and Chips. You can find both of those in Hull. I'm your host, Nathaniel Witto, and tonight I'm joined by Will and Ant. And sort of a few things to debate this time, because we only had the draw, one of our first of the season. Well, that's not actually true. We've had two. So, Will and Ant, how are you feeling? And just let's launch straight into it.
5 unbeaten, so it's well so far, isn't it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it, to be honest, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Will? Just enjoyable?
Well, for the most part, I mean, the reason I didn't enjoy it was nothing to do with any of the players on the pitch. It was somewhere else on the pitch. But apart from that, I thought it was I think if you were a neutral, it was a good game to watch, to be fair.
Well, I mean, perhaps we want to start off on a more positive note, but should we just rip the Band-Aid off? And you showed me your notes you wrote in the game. Again, that's like 6 games in a row. We've had an awful referee. And it was the same one who didn't disallow the Nathan Ake goal for Man City. That was clearly offside the other day in the VAR. And then it seems to me like he's been punished to move down to be a referee in an EFL game after an awful mistake in the Premier League. It just shows that they don't really care about refereeing at this level.
The note in particular, and I will say it in full and sense of glory, is, ref, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do you know what a yellow card is?
Oh, right, write that down, Will. You've got to edit that for West Hall FM.
Top analysis.
Top analysis. Really rubbish. I mean, I wasn't at the game, but we couldn't complain about it after the Leicester game because we were glad to, you know, see out the win, but Dave seems to have changed the long added minutes at the end of the game, especially with the Delap incident and the big fight at the end of the game. There should have been more than 3 minutes added. So, Ant, how annoying is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most frustrating part of it is that it's inconsistent, isn't it? If you're going to add, you know, all this added time on for stoppages in play and try and, you know, slam that time wasting side out of the game, then you've got to do that in every game. So at the minute, I think it's a bit unclear as to what they're adding time on for, or if they stopped doing what they were doing at the beginning of the season. No one's quite sure. Because you're meant to be adding time on for everything. So it's like, you know, goal celebrations and, you know, time spent trying to get the ball for a goal kick and corner and everything like that. So yeah, the amount of added time on is quite bizarre when you think about how much potentially in a game that there should be, you should be looking about 7 or 8 minutes minimum every match, shouldn't you? So yeah, it's quite bizarre. But like you say, the inconsistency of referees, I think, is the biggest irk of everybody, because you don't mind a ref that has a certain way or style of doing stuff, but as long as it's, you know, consistent across 90 minutes in every game, then you kind of accept it, don't you? But it's not at the minute.
Yeah, I think we've been especially unlucky. And also the refereeing for both teams has been awful in all the games we've had. It's not just been us that's been annoyed. There have been decisions both ways, which are just clearly wrong. And the way that it's the way they're managing the games as well. Sometimes you can understand if they've got a difficult 50-50 decision wrong, but how they manage the game, cope with the yellow cards especially, and when they're giving out the yellow cards has been really awful. So, yeah, shame to talk about the refereeing, but I imagine that we're going to be talking about that a lot more. And it is annoying that they've already not been consistent with the amount of added minutes, because there are certain teams that have benefited from that this season. And because it's not all the way throughout the 46 games, it's going to be unfair for some teams that, you know, when it gets later on and they change the rules, it's not consistent. So, yeah, but very negative start. But generally, I've written down that it was a game of two halves. First half, not so great against Coventry. Second half, we were the much better team. So, Will, what changed between the two halves for you?
Well, simply put, Liam made a change. Obviously, he brought on... And Vinagre didn't have an awful game, but he wasn't playing great either, I don't think. But he made the change and brought on Christie at half-time. And he sort of changed it up front, and Delap was more central as the half wore on. And I think that was what helped, because... Coyle on the left seemed to give Vinagre a little bit more, not Vinagre, Philogene, a bit more sort of like partnership. There was a bit of a better partnership mm-hmm. between the two. There was a lot more overlapping between the both of them than there was with Vinagre on the pitch, and I think that helped a lot. It just felt like, I think it was held by the fact that as well, that Coventry kind of took the foot off the gas and it allowed us to pressure them a bit more. I mean, I don't know how many shots we had in that second half compared to the first one, but it was definitely a lot more.
Mm. And do you agree with that, that it was a poor first half, much better second half?
Yeah, I mean, a pattern of our play this season seems to be we start the first half playing far too slow, far too static, not enough options off the ball. There's no urgency, no intensity in the play. And we kind of play into the other team's hands, really. And, you know, a side like Coventry are a lot more streetwise than us. They tried bullying us, you know, and the ref kind of allowed it for a long period of the game, I think, which is the most frustrating thing, is the vast majority of their fouls were, they were breaking up our play. It was all tactical fouls, and they weren't getting punished for it. So as long as they weren't getting booked for it, it'd continue. But that being said, we were just so slow on the ball. And when you do that, the opposition, you know, when they're going to press high and try and force you into mistakes, they're going to gain confidence from the fact that we seem to be out of ideas and not having that movement off the ball, that we didn't seem up for it. And, you know, they get a goal from really poor defending on the set piece, and then they've got something to hold on to. Mm. And all of a sudden we're behind again in a game where, you know, we've said that so many times this season, where we're having to come again from behind. And it seems to take us conceding a goal to boot us into action, which is a concerning thing. But like I said, the changes at halftime really did change it. We came out a lot more positive, and I think we controlled the game pretty much from the whistle in the second half onwards. And there was only really one team that was going to go on and try and win that game. I think Coventry were happy for the point, especially when obviously we scored. They didn't really commit again, did they? They were happy for the point, whereas we kept pushing. But, you know, at the end of the day, you look back at it, and Coventry were a side who finished in the top six last season. They're going to be a side, once it clicks from this year, that will be in and around the top six again. Mm-hmm. So to come away with a point, especially from, you know, like again, a goal behind, I think we've got 7 points from losing positions this season, which... Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to change, but, you know, it's showing character in the squad, and that we're not going to give up, and we'll play till the last minute. So, yeah, positive end to the game, but, you know, we just need to start games in that fashion, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you're right about the yellow cards, because I think there were four or five for Coventry defenders and midfielders in the last 10 minutes by that point.
Yeah, they'd made
the card was in the 80th minute.
Yeah, they'd made 10 fouls by half time, and they finished the game with about 23. I don't think I've ever seen so many fouls committed in one game. And when they got their first yellow card, pretty much the entire East Stand around me cheered like a goal. It was bizarre. But you know what I mean? It was one of those games where the fans were perplexed as to how they were getting away with what they were doing. And I think the Cov players were probably like, I don't know what this ref's doing, but we'll just keep doing it, lads.
How did Binks stay on the pitch after elbowing Delap in the back of the head, pretty much?
Yeah. It was all over the back of him.
And then didn't get Connolly and Rosini get booked from that?
I think Connolly got booked from that. I don't know if he'd said something or if he'd just mistaken identity, because he similar height to Slater, and Slater
body
into another level.
It's the sort of thing Connolly would do, isn't it?
Yeah, And then Rossini got booked for essentially moaning about his own player getting smacked in the back of the head.
Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, and the referee, the referee's running past it. He actually, he runs past it, and then he looks back once he's run past it, seeing the lap on the underneath, thinks. Yeah, ridiculous.
But I think it's occasions like that is, what are the linesmen and the fourth officials for? Because you've got one linesman on one side of the pitch that's going to be looking down the line to see if obviously the Coventry attack is offside or you know whatnot. But the other linesman, all he has to do is look at the player behind him. He should have seen it, and the fourth official should have seen it. So I'm imagining that Connolly or Rossini have probably got booked for asking why there's not a card on the yellow there, because you get booked for that this season, don't you?
I remember Maddison yesterday for Tottenham got booked for doing this pretty much.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And maybe because he's a Premier League ref, he thought he was expecting VAR to come in his ear and tell him what was wrong as well. I think the actual decision that I think summed it up perfectly was, I think it was in the, at the start of the second half, there was a point where he pulled it back for a Coventry offside, but it was in their half. How does that work? You can't be offside in your own half.
Yeah.
I think something.
It's bizarre that a referee's punishment is to be sent to manage a game.
Why
do we have to suffer for it?
Yeah, refereeing another game that is actually also extremely important. If you know they're going to believe in that, but yeah, I, as I said at the beginning, it seems like they don't really care. I think also something to remember that only very few referees, like last year we had, can't remember what his name was, but a referee that is part-time. Like, I'm not even sure that a lot of referees in this country that genuinely see this as like their top priority. And with all the abuse they get, I can imagine that. But yeah, they're not going to care about an EFL game, especially if they're, you know, support Premier League club perhaps as well. You know, the integrity, we see the amount of you know what, Dean. What's Mike the referee Dean. Is? Mike Dean. Yeah, exactly. Nothing against Matt Dean of Hammerside. Yeah, like what he was saying about, he doesn't want to put his mate under pressure a few weeks ago with, you know, telling him to go to the VAR. Utterly absurd. But yeah, one positive to take out. Aaron Connolly, 6 and 11 goals, 11 matches as well for Hull City since we signed him in January. Great record. Well, it could be 8. He missed one decent chance. Well. Yeah, he could have scored against Bristol, could have scored against Coventry. But, you know, strikers are not always going to score every chance. The XG, I know Will hates this, but he's beating his XG. So I think the fact that, you know, because the goal against Coventry, backwards header, was so lovely and, you know, important at that time to equalise, that's what you want from a striker. I know he missed some against Bristol and early against Coventry, but then, you know, if you're a striker, you just need to focus on getting the next one and four, despite, you know, missing some chances. You wouldn't necessarily expect him to have
something. Rossini said in his interview, didn't he, that he was ill. He was asking to come off, and Rossini would have said, no, I want to just stay on because we need to score.
Spewing up after the game, apparently.
Yeah, so he was throwing up after the game. So we've got a player there who was happy to play and 90 then he came, whilst ill.
Yeah,
but and then after that, he came and did the player interview in the press room as well, even though he was ill.
Yeah, that's exactly the sort of commitment to the cause you want, and a bit of quality. Liam Smith, yeah, he was sick, and he was sick on the pitch as well with that lovely header, and to use some hip lingo there. You know, we're a very modern podcast, got to attract the young listeners. I mean, I was thinking about writing in my next blog about, is Aaron Connolly, you know, City's next great striker? Because, it's you know, he's scoring goals. He's also, his link-up play is much better than Oscar Estupiñán. So far, with the striker options, looking very positive. So just how many goals could he get this season?
I mean, you could have said that at the start of last season for Oscar, and he's no longer at the club.
Yeah. But I think even when Oscar was scoring, he was sort of scoring tap-ins, whereas Connolly's finishes have been much more,
I
think the exciting thing is it's not even just Connolly. We finally now got a situation where we could have multiple players looking at getting 10 plus. You know, two fans already on 4, Connolly's already on 4, Delap will probably get 10 plus on the way he's going. You know, you've got players here who are exciting, and we've now got creativity in behind them. You look at Philogene and how exciting he is. Scott Twine, when it finally clicks for him, he'll be a good player. And then you've got Lekilo, who comes on and looks positive. Vinagre and Christie were attacking fullbacks and will create chances. You know, you've got goals galore in this team, which is something we struggled with last season. So we might have sacrificed a bit of that defensive solidity, but we've scored every game this season. So, if, you know, I'd take that. If you score every game, you're at least going to get a point, unless you obviously concede more, which is basic football. Michael Owen quote there.
Our defence isn't quite that bad that perhaps if we do score, we are likely to get a point with the amount of attacking players and, or, you know, the amount of good defending players we have as well. I want to focus on the performances of a few individuals. Mentioned a few there. Of course, talking about the amount of fouls we got, and with Delap holding the ball up and Philogene and Twine, these sort of skillful players. Twine will be under, you know, a lot of scrutiny for his free kicks. He had a few poor ones against Coventry, but is it a case of when he gets his first one, that could be really good, because if we do have some of the most fouled players, he'll be an asset eventually when he does score, right?
I would hope so, because currently most of his free kicks resemble try conversions rather than actual shots at goal.
Yes. Well,
a couple of them nearly went out for throw-ins.
Almost done, right? So he'll be, you know, perhaps when the rugby's finished.
He was the focal point of the attack, because I think he had more shots than anyone else on the pitch. He had quite a few.
Yeah, and you want your players to be getting to those positions, because then you will score if he keeps getting to the positions. That's just, you know, and he's a quality player. You know, he's still not had that many games in our system and in the Championship, so I'm sure he'll come good. But I think because I know Ant, you said take him off free kicks, and then we did. I think the Kilo had one, but really, except Ward-Prowse, I don't think we'd rather have anyone taking free kicks in the whole league.
It's not take him off free kicks indefinitely. It was just in that game, I think he was overthinking them. You know, he had two or three, and all three of them were absolutely dire. And the one that Lekilo took looked like it was going in, you know, if it didn't hit the wall. So it's one of those where I think sometimes when you have a couple of bad ones, it gets in your head, doesn't it? And I think he's trying too hard to impress at the minute. I think that's his problem, because his performance wasn't as bad as people were making out online. But I do think he struggled with the physicality that Coventry gave. Like we say, he had a lot of shots, but a lot of them were pot shots from range. He had the one, was it him who had the chance when he was put through by Christie? You know, a good chance straight to keeper. So, you know, he's going to, I think when you're a player who's brought in to score goals and create goals, when you're not doing that, you get in your head, don't you? It's all confidence with attacking players. So, I think, like you say, once he gets his first one, he'll be up and running, he'll be class. But I'd definitely keep playing him and put him back on free kicks for the next game, at least, because he, like we say, he's obviously going to be our best set-piece taker. It's just the Hull City curse of when we bring players in, they just seem to, it just goes out the window, doesn't it? Especially with corners. The corners at the minute are just dire, aren't they? We don't even look like we're going to score one.
I suppose the goal did come from the second bit on the corner.
I mean, the thing is, it's like he's obviously trying to mix it up as well with the short corners and that. And when you play a short corner, the atmosphere just dies. It's like, oh, you've got an opportunity to stick it in the box to just do it. Why are we messing about? But we even when we do just stick it in the box, it goes nowhere near. So I don't know. How do you fix it?
I'm going to look in this book, How to Watch Football, for the corners. Let's see, you go. Chapter 12, short corners are actually good. And this is from
You're not going to read the entire section of that TIFO book, are you?
Well, no, the sections, the chapters are just 2 pages each. I won't read the whole thing. But generally,
short corners are a good place. I don't mind us having a variation of both. The problem is, at the moment, neither of them are effective, yeah.
I think 1% of corners or 3% of corners result in a shot or a goal, whereas 9% of short corners result in a shot on goal. So statistically, perhaps not for City, maybe we've not got the players to do that.
I was going to say, I think you'd be hard found to find a clip of us scoring a short corner in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the goal we scored was sort of,
second phase.
That cross,
second
but phase. Not exactly.
From on that, corner. You've mentioned players so far. You haven't mentioned a certain Tyler Morton.
Well, yes, he is next on my list. Again, playing without shin pads, a bit risky. I think, you know,
that Grealish route, I think.
Yeah, surely the sort of freedom and weightlessness you get from not having shin pads is not worth the fact someone could kick you in the shin and end your career. So I'm personally not for it.
mean, it worked last night because he got an assist.
Yeah, well, it did work. It was a lovely cross to.
And he had a very good. When he came on, that was the point. When he came on, that was the point where the pressure completely went to City's way, I think. Mm-hmm. Like in the second half, they had a couple of chances early on in the second half. And then when Seri went off on the hour mark for Morton, from that point on, I don't think Coventry had another shot. At least on target, definitely.
So I know we do love Regan Slater, but would we? I mean, perhaps he's not fit enough. He's just had. That was that half an hour was the only sort of minutes he's had this pre-season and the season. But when he's fit after that sort of short display, do we think he really would be in above Slater, perhaps?
I think the problem is with Slater this season, and I was saying this to my uncle I went to the game with after the match, is Slater's unfortunately a victim of the system this season because last season we played him higher up the pitch and he made late runs into the box. We played him sometimes off the left. You know, so he'd get into the box and score goals. But this season, we're playing him a lot deeper. He's having to sit alongside Seri to make sure for the obviously the extra striker that we put up top. So we're not seeing those trademark Slater runs into the box and those goals. And you know, he's not getting the attacking contributions that he wants. But you get that work rate from him, that sort of industrious, no nonsense approach to defending that he gives you, box to box, high energy. So he's perfect to put alongside Seri. It's just like you say, you just miss his attacking threat, don't you? Which obviously we saw last season from him. But I don't know if you can play Morton and Seri in the same team because I think it's a case of like what we had with Ryan Woods and Seri, where, you know, Morton's a lot taller and a lot more physical, I think. But they're both similar players in terms of they want to drop deep, get possession, and be that link rather than the one that pushes forward. So it's hard to put Morton in, but I think you'd put Morton in above Seri, I think, if you wanted to have a more physical game, because I think he offers you a bit more in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, be a bit more physical in defensive sense, whereas Seri's more of a control the game kind of guy. But this is the thing. We've got such an abundance of options this year that we didn't have last year. So all these are really good headaches to have. But you just, you know, you're glad you're not Rosinia trying to fit these players in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's Tyler Morton. Do we want to get on to perhaps the most exciting debutant at the game, Jaden Philogene, £5 million signing from Aston Villa, and no goals or assists, but set up Morton for the assist and showed lots of tricks and quality on the pitch. So, Will, what did you think of his debut?
I thought he was very exciting, as you say. He was a very tidy player. He was a little greedy at times, I would say, but he clearly has ability out wide that we've not seen for a little bit, the way he plays. So it'll be nice to have a bit more sort of unpredictability going forward with him in front.
Mm-hmm. And thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's really exciting, isn't he? I think he's the kind of winger that every side wants in their team. He's direct, he's tricky, he goes either way. He's the kind of player that gives defenders nightmares because they don't know which way he's going to go or what he's going to do. And you need that kind of unpredictability in your team because then, if, for example, Coyle makes the overlap on his side, but then there's Twine on his inside, the defenders don't know where to commit because they don't know what he's going to do. He's either going to run at them, take them on, get in the box, or pass it to one of those two. So you have them second-guessing themselves. And that's the kind of player you need in your team because he's going to win you so many fouls, so many penalties. He will create goals. He'll score goals. And he's really direct. You know, he puts us on the front foot. So if we're wanting to play a more aggressive attacking front foot kind of system, he's perfect for that. And like you say, it's good that he's completely different kind of winger to the ones we've already got because it means we've got variation, we've got flexibility. Because I thought Lekilo came on and made a really good impact too. So you've got plenty of options now in these wing areas and slash number 10 slash striker, wherever we're playing all these players at the minute. And you're only going to see the likes of Connolly, Toufan and Delap, you know, sort of thriving off these players that we've got in behind now. It's I think Wednesday night's going to be an exciting one because there's so much attacking talent on both teams that it's got the potential to be a 4-4, so it'll obviously be a 0-0. But it's going to be a really interesting game, I think.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And he's a proper winger as well. We'll give you width because Twine is really an attacking midfielder. And was Twine at times actually playing in the middle with Delap out wide?
Yeah, he played it. I think he slotted in the number 10 most of the game, didn't he? He did the two-fan role.
Twine was sort of the Ozan replacement, pretty much.
Yeah, so I think Philogene on one wing, because when we had Traore and Twine on either wing, that doesn't really work, because I think you need
Traore's not wide, side.
No.
And neither is Twine.
Neither is Twine, but Philogene certainly is. So, of course, same with Twine, you know, him and Philogene, and of course, Delap as well, young players. I mean, with Philogene's debut and Delap's 2 goals so far, they've started well. But, you know, it is quite exciting how many exciting young attacking players in Connolly's only 23, 24. So I think the future is very bright, and hopefully they mould together as a team later on into the season. But talking about wingers, I thought it is relevant because he did play against Leeds today, and that is our next opponent. I want to mention my favourite player, Ryan Longman. I promise I won't be doing this every week, but he was actually Moore's best player against Leeds. And this is an interesting tactical question. Should we go a bit more direct or more defensive like we did against Leicester against Leeds? Because, well, mind you, it didn't exactly work for Moore or their direct side, but I was talking to a Leeds fan saying that they struggle against a low block and we were able to frustrate Leicester and win a sort of scrappy game. So what's the best way, do we think, about playing Leeds on Wednesday?
Play how Racine wants us to play.
Yeah, yeah. So you just think it's important to keep that consistency?
It's a home game, so I don't want us to be defensive. Because they're asking for negativity. You're going to get the crowd on your back. Yeah. You've got to play how we've been playing, because otherwise you'll never improve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Rossini will back us to be better than Leeds are at keeping the ball, because that's their system as well.
Leeds' weakness is their defence. Mm-hmm. They're relying heavily on
Their attack is by far their most.
Yeah, they're relying on they want to score more goals than you. I mean, they've had 2 clean sheets in a row for the first time in God knows how long. But it's because, you know, the attacking talent they've got at the minute are pressing teams into a position where they're, you know, forcing errors and forcing them to go long. Millwall went with a 5-3-2 against Leeds, which I don't think was the way to go because they had far too many players in their own box. I think I saw the Millwall podcast tweet about saying how confused it was the system they were playing, because they weren't going at Leeds. They were playing straight into their hands and letting, you know, Leeds come after them wave after wave. But you need to target those wide areas and the spaces that when Leeds commit forwards and they leave a lot of space, we've got to be able to exploit that. In saying that, it's a worry that if we start the same way we did against Coventry, we again play into Leeds' hands, because they're a team that are going to, you know, they've got a lot of pace in their attack. And if we're too slow with the ball at the back, they will press us into corners and force errors. And obviously, if you get the tails up at the beginning of the game, you could give them the impetus. So it's important we start strong. I think you have to just go straight for them. And it needs to be fast. It needs to be intense straight from the off. We can't start like we did against Coventry, for me, or it could be a problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, Danny, Leeds fans commented, if we come with a low block on Wednesday, then Leeds will struggle. But to get a bit more insight onto the Leeds United aspect of things, here is Joe Wainman of the Just Joe podcast and also the White Rose Rivals podcast that Joe goes on every week. Yes. So, Joe, good evening.
I'm on time, lads. I'm on time, Anna. Right, really? Okay, you'd already started. I didn't realise, but yeah, 7:30 for me to come in and chat about Leeds, I guess. It now. I was worried then.
No.
Yeah,
I'm about
yeah, fair. I'm ecstatic because obviously today was game day for us, and yeah, we won the game 3-0. We never do well at Millwall. Long time since we won down there. We don't do well in London. I don't know how it is for you folks, but whenever we go down south, we always do piss poor. I think we lost the last 7 games in the capital. So that's his first game down there this season. And we won 3-0 at Canter. So that's that monkey off the back. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly, Danny. It's not my show, you see, so I don't have to be early. Late, sorry. What? Yeah, I don't know. I'm all over the shop, as you can see. We won a game 3-0. It was really, really good. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, so generally on Wednesday night, it should be a good game between two good attacking teams. How do you see it going?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm excited to play Hull City. And the reason I said not taking anything away from Hull, because I think they're a very good side. I really like what Liam Rossini is doing. But we've already seen with Ipswich, it helps Leeds United if teams are going to come play football. I think we struggle to break down low block sides. We struggled against Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, if we're being honest, probably one of the worst teams in the division. Exactly. Yeah, so... yeah, I mean, you battered him, didn't you? Was it 4-1, 4-2?
4-2.
Somehow we conceded 2 goals to him.
Yeah, I know. They went one up as well, right? But yeah, I think the fact that we struggled against them shows that if you're going to play a low block against us, we might struggle to find the spaces that Ant was just touching on there. But I think if Hull come and play us, I would back us in a straight shootout, you know, in a basketball match end-to-end, I would back Leeds United, not from an ego standpoint, just because I think we have a better quality of players having just dropped out of the Premier League. You know, we've got internationals in there, etc. I know you'll have a few as well. But, yeah, I'm excited for the game, though. I think it's going to be good, for sure. It's going to be a good football game.
So, of course, you're on the White Rose Rivals podcast, where you get all the Yorkshire podcast, Yorkshire team podcast to come on. I think there's always a bit of debate when Hull play Leeds of whether it's actually a derby or if it's just a rivalry or what is it. So, Will, you don't think so. Joe, what are your thoughts on this? Because
I mean, he's riding a Yorkshire, right? He's a Yorkshire, right? Yeah, like...
Well, yes, but there are Yorkshire derbies, but sometimes people say that Hull Leeds is the biggest match for
Hull. The context is important. It's a Yorkshire derby, but Leeds don't see us as much as a rival as what some of our fans do then.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's not a rivalry, but it's a derby.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that. Because, like, for example, like we're not asked about Huddersfield, but they seem they're massively asked about Leeds United. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I guess, I hear you. But then again, it's like the mad thing is, isn't it? Like, our biggest rivals for us anyway is Manchester United.
Yeah.
And they're in Lancashire, or Chelsea, and they're down south. Do you know what I mean? We can't stand Chelsea. Dates back to
our issue is our actual rivals, our local rivals, are all rubbish. Scunthorpe and Grimsby are both well outlawed. So we haven't really have anyone close by. Leeds are like the closest team we play on the regular.
Yeah. I think the mad thing is, because I live in the northeast now. I'm originally from Halifax, West Yorkshire, but I moved up to the northeast about 10 years ago, and I lived in Middlesbrough for a little while. And they hated us. And I genuinely didn't know there was a hatred there. Now, obviously, they used to be North Yorkshire, right? So when I do the White Rose Rivals, everyone always says, why aren't Middlesbrough in it? Why aren't Middlesbrough in it? But it's mad, isn't it? Geography and that. I just know, for me growing up, Hull are in Yorkshire. Therefore, it's a Yorkshire derby. That's enough.
I agree with Middlesbrough, because every time I realise Middlesbrough's in Yorkshire, I think that's so weird. Because
in
football, when they're playing Sunderland or Newcastle, that's the big game. Not Middlesbrough Hull. No one really cares about that. So I agree they shouldn't be in it, even if by default they should be. It just doesn't seem right to me. So, Joe, on this podcast, well, certainly I do. I don't know about everyone else, but we like to do a combined lineup that I've made between the Hull and Leeds players. And you were talking about this one is probably the most controversial, because I've put a player in, or two players in, the same position, because...
I can tell you already, Joe's not going to like this one.
Well, we don't know
I can't lie. You've been very, very favourable there, mate. I can't lie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for audio listeners, I will read out. So we've got Melier in goal, Sam Byram, Strike, Jones and Coyle, Seri and Ampadu, Connolly on one wing, Philogene on the other. And up front, we've got Pirot. And then we've got Rutter and Toufan. I do this based on availability. We don't know if Toufan's going to
play. Toufan ain't going to play if there's Rutter then.
If Toufan was fit with four goals, perhaps he would be in. But I think Rutter scored a very nice goal against Millwall today. So thoughts on this? Because it's kind of even.
Yeah, I'd give you Louis Coyle just because he used to play for Leeds and that's about it.
I couldn't bring myself to put
him in, Joe. We do.
I don't like Luke Ayling. I couldn't dare put him in. I just couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't do it. That's why
Spence
I
might be fit though. Spence might be fit for Wednesday. So Jed Spence obviously gets in most championship sides. I think he improves us massively. Yeah. But I'll give you Louis Coyle. Maybe Seri as well, because look, Gray's only 17. But don't get me wrong, like that kid's gonna have an amazing start. But I think the most for me, the most exciting area is the front four for Leeds United. Yeah. You know, you've got Somerville, you've got Nonto, Dan James even off the bench today, Jaden Anthony off the bench. The squad's just looking so much stronger. It's going to be interesting to see if he switches it up actually Wednesday, because, you know, we bought Kamara and Gruyev as well. They came on and got minutes today. So, but yeah, I'd put in Joe Rodon over Jones as well, just because he's an international.
Yeah, fair enough. What I do, because I do it in my blog, so I want to see how it progresses over the season. I sort of do it on form as well, rather than like Jed Spence, obviously a very good player, but he's not he's not started this season, so I think Kyle's got to be in, or Luke Ayling it would have been.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. Hull versus Leeds playoff final this season. That'd be a very good game.
No, it's going to be Hull versus Leeds. Bottom mics, just to be.
Oh, Hull and Leeds.
That would be good. I'd take that, Will. I don't want the playoffs. I hate it. If I could choose with winning the league or guaranteeing winning in the playoff final, I would take the playoff final over winning the league.
Absolutely, every time.
Wild. Yeah, but I just would rather get second than be in a playoff final, because you might lose it, and that's just horrible, isn't it?
The stress. The stress of getting that.
Leeds don't have the greatest playoff record, even.
No, we don't.
No, yes, we've done fairly well recently, haven't we?
Yeah, we've done all right in playoffs, so we don't mind them.
No, for us, then you can have that, lad. It's a no from me.
A few things. Marcus and Danny are saying that Jed Spence is out again, injured.
Oh, I must admit, I did have to shoot straight off after the game. I know he was a major doubt for this game, unless Daniel Farke after the game has said he's also going to miss Wednesday. Then they'll know more than me because they'll have heard it. So, yeah.
Mm. And then also Harry Warding is complaining that Greaves wasn't in the team. I think, you know, Jones has got an assist this season, and I saw a lot of praise for him against Coventry, so that's why Greaves isn't in there. It can't be in every week. So, yeah.
Yes, he can.
I mean,
you've got more stick on this episode.
It's your choice, the fan. You can be in every week if you want.
Yeah. So, I think Seri's been in every week. And then maybe even Coyle's been in since... perhaps even the first match or the second match. So he's done quite well. And of course, him and Dan James, both kind of similar, you know, opposite teams, academies. So both of them will be looking forward to the game, especially. Is there anything else?
Did Dan James come through your academy, did you say?
Yeah, he came from us to Swansea. Yeah, he's from Beverley.
Okay. I know his dad was a Leeds fan. His dad... Yeah. Passed away.
I think it's a different situation to the Liam Cooper one, because Cooper came through us as well. Was many pictures of him wearing City shirts growing up, was clearly a City fan. And then went to Leeds and was like, I've been a Leeds fan all my life.
He was also clearly English as well. And
I've always been a Leeds fan.
Is there anything else we want to mention about the whole Leeds game, or shall we go on to our predictions? Because none of us got the commentary one right.
I know if Joe's worried about the potential pairing up of Philogene versus Luke Ayling, because I feel like that was the best debut I think I've seen from a City player in a long time against Coventry. Okay. He looks phenomenal, and I think that the pace... especially in the trickery to go either side, it might have Ayling sort of like a deer on roller skates kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, Luke Ayling's legs have gone. There's no hiding the fact. He is a bit all over the shop at times. Leeds fans have for me personally, because I love him, you see. So it's hard for me to we all have them players, right? That you won't have a bad word said, right? From time to time.
Yeah.
Now, he gets battered for being for making an error, but then he doesn't get the credit when he's laying on an assist or whatever, or he's scoring the goal.
Get off screen.
Yes. So I think with Bill, he probably will have a hard time. But I think Daniel, yes, he's out of position, but I say this to everyone. He's asked to play up there. He's almost playing right wing under Daniel Farker. Do you know what I mean? And he has Byram inverting on the other side. So, and playing more narrow. So it's a request from Farker. He's not purposely stood massively out of position, because otherwise
he's got to be supported by his winger, hasn't he?
Yeah. And also what happens is Archie Gray drops in as well behind him when he pushes forward. So it's on all of the right side. But yeah, look, Luke Ayling will be in for a tough time. Siriki Dembele twisted him inside and out against Cardiff. So, yeah.
The extra 2 days respite actually help us as well quite a bit.
100%.
Rob has just asked that.
Yeah.
Joe, do you want to explain what Farker was saying about the minutes rest or days rest? Because he was sort of talking about that in the press conference, that he wasn't happy that we've got an extra 2 days.
Yeah. On the pre-match presser, I've not seen the one after, but he did mention it. But if we're being honest, the schedule, it ain't great, is it? Like, you play Friday, we
but
play
you play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, don't you?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Which
it's kind of out of our hands, because it was the rugby was the reason it was changed. Because we share a ground rugby team, there's going to be clashes. And like Rossini said in our post-match press conferences, there'll be a bit later in the season where we have to play. Yeah. 2 days less rest than someone else, probably. It always evens out in places.
At the end of the day, like, I remember saying it at the time, without going all Jurgen Klopp on everyone, you know, because he's always whinging at it, isn't he, at the end of the day. But they're professional footballers, man. They'll be fine. Yeah. They'll be fine.
Mm. And I think the season's, so long with 46 games, maybe 49, if you get to the playoff final, that hopefully it would even out over the course of the year, and that if you're good enough, if you deserve promotion or to stay up or whatever it is, really is just up to you. These things are annoying, but maybe they can use that as motivation.
If you can hear a little grumbling, my dog's snoring. Okay, I don't know if you can pick it up. That's all. Sorry.
Yeah. All right,
well, Harry's thinking that Philogene is going to tear Ayling a new one, and then Danny said that maybe is that Shackleton? Jamie Shackleton.
Yeah.
Right back. So
I can't see that. I think Luke Ayling will keep his spot just because he's played every single minute. Ideally, yeah, he could do with the rest, but he's the captain as well at the minute, so I don't see him. He'll be fine, Luke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I agree with you that the sort of basketball, perhaps, aspect, Pirot and Rutter back off, two great goals for Pirot and then one for Rutter against Millwall. And, maybe the fact that they've had that game more recently will mean that they're in better form. Of course, we just drew. So perhaps, they're not quite as sharp, perhaps. But then with Delap and Philogene Connolly, these sort of players, it will be an exciting attacking game. So I think we've come to our predictions. All of us predicted at the podcast we'd beat Coventry, so no points for us in our little league table. I don't think you're going to be proven right this time, but do you want to just do your prediction first?
I've got to do it until we do it. So, yeah, anyway, Hull City winning 3-0.
he says this every week, Joe. This has been going on the last season.
It's gone too far, and until we win 3-0, I'm going to keep predicting 3-0.
Hasn't it gone on since we beat QPR 3-0? And that was like February. Yeah. So it's been a long time.
Too long.
My actual feelings, I think it'll be a score draw, but I'm predicting 3-0 because I have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thoughts?
See, I hate this game because I've got my in-laws are Leeds fans. And I work with so many Leeds fans. There's a lot on the line for me in this game. And if we lose, then I'll have to go into hiding for 2 or 3 weeks. But what worries me is that when I was watching the Leeds game today is the spaces they find out wide and in sort of that number 10 area really worries me, because that's been our weak point, I think. The area of the box just on the outside where the midfield should be protecting, I feel like it's far too easy for teams to do a little link-up players and getting behind from that sense. And to look at the pace that Leeds have got and getting behind it, that really worries me. But saying that, Leeds' weakness is the defence, and we've got ample attacking talent that have scored plenty of goals so far. We scored every game this season. So, in theory, it could be like a 3-all, 4-all, but it'll probably be a 0-0, won't it, with hardly any chances. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go for a nice safe bet. I'm going to say 1-1.
Yeah, that's nice. Reasonable. The two Leeds fans in the comments are saying 2-1 Leeds. Wally Deft says 3-1 Leeds. And then Harry saying 2-2. Joe,
2-2 is a common score at our stadium in a whole Leeds game in recent
years. It is. Yeah.
Quite a few goals, isn't
there? I think that was the last time we scored against Leeds at home was 2-2. Yeah.
I think for me, I don't. We've had two clean sheets on the bounce. Can we go and get. Because we haven't had one since February for. We were pretty porous, so the defence has improved.
But we scored every game and it has to end eventually.
Oh, you have scored every game? Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go 2-1 Leeds United. I just think, a bit like the Ipswich game, it probably is going to be end-to-end. And, you know, I think we'll our attacking prowess will better your attacking prowess. And that's not me saying yours is poor. I just think we'll... I mean, we've got Joel Pirro, haven't we, man? He scored, what, 3-3? He's a finisher. So,
great player.
Really.
Jono Webb says 3-0 City as well, like you will. Well, I predicted...
Maybe.
I predicted it'd be a 2-1 win against Coventry. So, and that was 1-1. So I'm going to say it's 1-1 against Leeds in the hope that I'm wrong and it's a 2-1 win to Hull. That's what I'm going to go for. I did have a stat I was going to read out at the start, but I'll just ask, Joe, I'm going to ask you not to answer it if you know it, and maybe you can answer it at the end because I feel like you're more likely to know than the other
this
two.
This memory is not good, mate. It's like a goldfish. I won't know.
The clues are that we've mentioned them both in the podcast, but of course we have. But Will and to anyone in the comments, can you tell me who the two players in the Hull City squad that actually scored against Leeds in their career are? Who they are? We have mentioned both of them. One of them was last year and one of them was 2018. So, you know, I thought I'd do some research on this. One of them is very difficult to guess because of, I mean, it is true.
Did we play last year?
Philogene.
Yes, Jaden Philogene scored against Leeds.
Any
in,
team.
Yes, in their career.
Okay.
It was 2-2 Leeds Cardiff in the FA Cup last year. And then the other player is out on loan currently who has scored against Leeds.
Ryan Longman.
Plays for Hull. Very close, Will. Very close with the name. Ryan Not to Ryan Longman, but Ryan Woods. He scored in a 3-1 win against Leeds for Brentford in 2018.
Oh,
so I just thought, Harry Warding's gone there, Bowen and Wilkes, but, I mean, of course, they are the last two players to score against Leeds, but they're currently elsewhere. But
What's happened to Ryan Woods then? He was a player. He was a decent player.
I don't think he fits into the way we play football. He's still a decent player, but he just doesn't fit the way Liam wants us to play.
And you were mentioning how him and Surrey didn't really work because they're two similar players.
Ryan Woods is one of those where he sits deep and dictates playing team. And we already had that with Surrey, and Surrey's a far better player at doing that. So when you try to play them both together, we didn't have anything going forwards because there was no midfielders making those runs. So it never worked. And obviously you'd rather play Surrey above Woods. So unfortunately for his time at City, he just didn't fit into the squad, did he? So
Fair.
Yeah. Liam Smith in the comments said a repeat of the 4-4 draw we had against Swansea. You were playing in white, not Leeds, but we lost 4-0 to Leeds last time we played in the league, I think. So
League Cup,
happen.
We beat them. The last time we
beat
played
them in the Cup.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Was it League One?
So, Joe, thanks very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, just your football show. Listen, heavily Leeds stuff, so you're probably not going to like it. But I do have the White Rose Rivals, which is a Yorkshire-based chat that we have once a week. Ant's been on before. It was great to have him. So, yeah. If you fancy some Yorkshire chat, then come on and join us. Thursday is normally at 6 o'clock.
It's worth following just for that if there's any City fans watching, because I watch it now and it's a laugh because obviously you've got all the other podcasts on from the other teams, and it's if City haven't played, I mean, it's been all right for us because we haven't lost in a while, it's especially good to laugh at Wednesday.
Actually, there's the episode, I implore you all to go watch it, the episode after you beat Chef Wednesday 4-2.
Yes, I've seen that.
I did like a little edit because the Chef Wednesday fan Ash was saying it was going to be an easy game, so I mocked it up.
It was for us.
Yeah, exactly. But it's really enjoyable. Go watch it because we've got him saying, "Oh, yeah. easy," and then you score four. So yeah, it's good.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for coming on. Thanks to everyone who's done lots of comments of the school predictions and giving me more abuse for the combined lineup. So thanks for joining me again, Will and Ant, and then everyone who's commented and liked. We'll see you again next week after hopefully a win in the Yorkshire Derby.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.